Tonight is Tuesday night, May 8th. This is the Women's Mishnah Gemara Share. We're in the 8th Perek of Maseches Chulin, and Daf Kuf Yudal and Amud Beis.
Okay, last week, Rabotai, we read two parallel sugyot. That was the Gemara Share from last night. Two parallel sugyot. One on Daf Kuf Yudalid, and one on Kuf Tezvav, Amud Bet, a blot apart, where two different sources appear as to why you're not permitted to eat Basa B'Chalav. That was the topic at hand. Why are you not allowed to eat Basa B'Chalav? So we'll just briefly review what we did last week, and then we're going to build on it from the opposite perspective this week. The Gemara said, if you look at Kuf Yudalit, page 1, in the middle of the page, Omar Ravashi, Minayin lebasar b'chalav she'asur ba'achila. How do I know that you are not permitted to eat milk and meat that have been cooked together? Shine'emar, he says, because the Pasuk states, Lo tochal kol to'eva. You shall not eat anything that I, God, have identified as an abomination. Kol sheti'avti lecha, anything which I consider abominable. And what defines something as abominable? God told you not to do something with this particular product. God told you not to do something with this particular issue. So anybody, at any time, I have something identified as a to'eva, the Torah says, lo tochal, don't eat such an abomination. So since basar b'chalav was described as an abomination, by virtue of the fact that the Torah said, lo tivashel, you are not permitted to cook milk and meat, so God somehow doesn't want you to mix the two. Hence, it's now identified as a to'eva. If I did cook milk and meat, I have created something abominable in God's eyes. And this particular verse says, lo tochal. Don't eat anything that is identified as an abomination. Kol sheti'avti lecha, harei hu bibal tochal. Is included in the prohibition to eat. Ve'ein li elo achil be'achila. This prohibition, as it states quite explicitly in the text, it says lo tochal. It only prohibits achila. Hana'a minayin. How do I know that I am not permitted to derive any benefit from anything that was cooked, milk and meat that were cooked together? How do I know that I can't sell it? How do I know that I can't use it as to make a soap or whatever else I want to make out of basa b'chalav? How do I know that I can't? Because after all, it only says lo tochal. Answers the Gemara, kidu Rabbi Avahu. Rav Ashi shakes hands with Rabbi Avahu. What did Rabbi Avahu say in the name of Rabbi Lazar? The Amar Rabbi Avahu, Amar Rabbi Lazar, kol makom. Shine emar, lo yochal, lo tochlo, lo tochal, or lo tochelu, echad isur achila, ve echad isur hana'a b'mashma. The Torah wishes to prohibit both eating and deriving benefit. Ad sheyifrot lecha hakatuv, unless the Torah explicitly permits hana'a, kiderech sheparat lecha b'nevela. Just as in relationship to the prohibition of nevela, the Torah explicitly stated you are permitted to have benefit. The Torah writes, and the Torah prohibits it, how? Lager b'nesina. You're allowed to give it to a ger toshav, a Gentile who has the right to live in Medinat Yisrael. You're allowed to give it to him. Ula oved kochavim, and to an idolater, you're allowed to sell it. Bimechira, by selling. Because the Torah explicitly says, Lager asher bisharecha titnena va'achala, the Gemara will quote the pasuk. Oh, machur l'nachri. So Rabbi Avohu derives from the fact that the Torah said, you are permitted to benefit from the nevela meat. The inference is that if the Torah doesn't stipulate that you are permitted to derive benefit, obviously you are not permitted to derive benefit. So when you are dealing with lo tochal kol to'eva as the basis of not eating basar b'chalav, lo tochal kol to'eva, the Torah doesn't say, but you're allowed to take this to'eva and give it to a Gentile or sell it to him. It doesn't say that. So the fact that it said lo tochal teaches me not only that you're not allowed to eat basar b'chalav, but you're not allowed to derive benefit from basar b'chalav as well. So Rav Ashi does not quote that which I told you when we started this whole perek, namely that the fact that the Torah writes lo tivashel gedi b'chalav imo 3 times. And once is to teach you achila, once is to teach you bishul, once is to teach you hana. Rav Ashi never heard of that. At least so far tonight. He never heard of that. How do I know that you're not allowed to eat basar b'chalav? Because the Torah made it an abomination to do something with basar b'chalav. What abominable act did the Torah create with basar b'chalav? Not allowed to cook it. That it says black on white. So if God prohibits something, the end product is defined as an abomination. If God prohibits it in any way, then the end product is an abomination. And then there is a second pasuk that says, "Lo tochal kol to'eva." Don't eat anything which God told you not to do. So there is another prohibition in the Torah, which is written in Sefer Dvarim, where the Torah never ever says you're not allowed to eat it. It uses a different type of expression. And that's kila'e hakerem. That you are not permitted to take a vine and mix it with another seed to produce anything that you can produce with a vine. So do you know of any other fruits that are produced by mixing a vine with something? The only thing? I don't. But anyhow, the Torah doesn't say that you're not allowed to eat it. But the Torah tells you not to raise it, not to plant it. But once the Torah told you not to plant it, it becomes an abomination. So Rav Ashi would say, now the phrase lo tochal kol to'eva applies to kiloi hakerem as well. Perkar hakerem. Because again, it's an abominable act in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when you do something that He told you not to do. So once it's defined with this generic term, to'eva, you're not allowed to eat it. Then, step two, he agrees with Rabbi Avohu, who says that whenever the Torah says, lo tochal, lo tochal, lo tochelu, in the plural, or lo yochal, it includes an isur achila, as well as an Isur Hana'ah. As well as an Isur Hana'ah. For example, how do I know that you're not allowed to sell chametz during Pesach? Because the Torah says, Kol machmetzet lo tochelu. And if it says, thou shalt not eat it, Rabbi Avohu says, that must include an Isur Hana'ah as well. So if on Pesach, not only are we prohibited from eating chametz, but you are prohibited to sell it or use it in any other fashion. Can't give it to Fluffy, your dog, because that's a benefit. You don't have to buy Alpo now because you gave him chametz. So that's a benefit. You save 22 cents. So under those circumstances, it's now prohibited as well. That was Rav Ashi's opinion. We also saw last week, we saw Rabbi Yishmael's opinion on page 2. He gives us the classic thing that is known in all schools. Everybody heard of the Bei Rabbi Yishmael Tana, the middle of the block later, Kuftet Vav Amid Beis. It says, Lo Tevashel Gedi Bachalev Imo Gimel Pe'amim. Torah repeats it three times. Echad Le'isur Achila, Ve'echad Le'isur Hana'a, Ve'echad Le'isur Bishul. One time is to teach you can't cook, one time is you can't eat, one time you can't go ahead and what? Derive benefit. So, when we have a machloket, not about the halacha, but about the source, then the next question that you should ask is, why couldn't they agree? If they have a different halacha, you can't ask a question, why couldn't they agree? Because they believe that your opinion is wrong. So if somebody says, you're allowed to do this until 2 o'clock, the other one says, you're allowed to do it until 1 o'clock, you can't ask a question, why couldn't they agree? Because each one has a reason why this is prohibited from 2, this is prohibited from 1. But where there is no disagreement about the core of the Isur, if they all agree, everybody on this planet says, you're not allowed to eat basar b'chalav. The only difference is where you learn it out from. So why did Rav Ashi have to be in action and not agree with Rav Yishmael's three times? And that was the question which we learned last week. We asked that question last week, if you remember correctly. Did we ask that question? Good. So the question was, why is it that Rabbi Yishmael doesn't agree with Rav Ashi, and why is it that Rav Ashi doesn't agree with Rabbi Yishmael? So actually last week we started with Rabbi Yishmael. Why is it that Rabbi Yishmael can't agree with Lo Tochal Kol Toeva and agree with Rav Ashi? And we said several explanations. Number one, Lo Tochal means that it's to be measured by all rules and regulations of prohibited eating. So one of the rules of violating a law, if it's described as eating, is that you have to eat it in the normal, conventional manner. The regular derech achila. So what is the normal way in which people eat meat cooked with milk? They put it in a pot, they cook it, and it's not boiling hot. They didn't leave it out of the refrigerator for 6 weeks and then eat it, because it would be spoiled. So you have to use it in its conventional way. So Rabbi Yishmael believes that basar b'chalav is the exception to the rule. You're not allowed to eat nevela. But if you had nevela that was boiling hot, that when as soon as you touch it, you burnt your tongue, you don't violate the law of nevela. Because that's not the way people eat. If you have a piece of meat which was nevela and you put it into a blender and you crushed it and made nevela malted, under those circumstances, you will not violate the prohibition of eating nevela. Because most people don't take a steak and make a malted out of it. But Rabbi Yishmael says, that's why I don't want to learn out basa b'chala from lo tochal kol toeva. I want to learn it from the extra lo tevashel. And nail you for eating basa b'chala even if you made it into a malted. Because it doesn't say you're not allowed to cook. It says you're not allowed to, it doesn't say you're not allowed to eat it, according to Rabbi Yishmael. It says cooking three times. And one of them comes to teach me that you are not permitted to eat it. But you're not permitted to eat it under any circumstances. That was number one. So in order to... So there is a difference. There is a halachic difference. If you agree with Rav Ashi's source, if you eat basar b'chalav shelo kederech achila, you are patur. Because it says lo tochal. And any prohibition where the Torah formulates as tochal, it has to be kederech achilata. According to Rabbi Yishmael, you don't need derech achilata, because the source is not lo tochal, it is lo tevashel. Difference number two was Rabbi Kiveyor. Chatzishir. If it says lo tochal, you have to conjure up an image in your mind of how much are you not allowed to eat. The answer is a kizayit. And whenever the Torah says eating, you're not allowed to eat this, or you must eat this, like by matzah, you have to eat a kizayis in order to be mekayim the mitzvah. You have to eat a kizayis in order to violate the aveira of eating trefa, of eating nevela. If you eat a half a Big Mac, half a kizayis Big Mac, midoraita, according to one opinion, you violate nothing. Absolutely nothing. Chatzi shir, according to one opinion, is mutar min ha-Torah. Happens to be Reish Lakish's opinion. Mutar min ha-Torah. Rabbi Ishmael wants you not to eat basa b'chalav, even a quarter of a kezayis. Well, he can, because the Torah didn't say lo tochal. The Torah said lo tevasher. So if you cook any amount whatsoever, even if it's less than a kezayit, according to Rabbi Ishmael, you will violate the prohibition. If you cook less than a kezayit, if you eat less than a kezayit, you'll violate the prohibition. So there is a second case where, according to Rabbi Ishmael's limud, it's chayav. According to Rav Ashi's limud, it is patur. So I began this segment by saying we would ask a question: why couldn't A agree with B and B agree with A if they all agree that it's prohibited? So what's the answer? They don't all agree when it's prohibited. I just gave you two cases where there is a point of contention. In the case of where it was eaten, shelo kederach achila, and case number two, when you eat chatzi shi'ur. So those were some of the reasons why Rabbi Yishmael, who says it's the classic three times, does not want to agree with Rav Ashi, who learns out the prohibition of eating basa b'chalav from lo tochal kol to'eva. That was a third explanation which we gave, was that lo tochal kol to'eva cannot generate lashes, punishment. Because lo tochal kol to'eva includes a broad segment of prohibitions. Anything that is called a to'eva, you're not allowed to eat because of that pasuk. And the rule is, lav, who remembers the next word? But you're almost right. Shebiklalot. A lav shebiklalot. That includes many things. A prohibition that includes many different things. You cannot administer lashes for that violation. So according to Rav Ashi, maybe you don't get lashes. And that's why Rabbi Shmuel didn't want to use that pasuk. Because in the word lo tochal kotoeva, I do prohibit lots of things. I gave you an example about kloe hakerem, things that you plant with a vineyard. You mix their seeds. Well, that's something else. That's not basa b'chalav. So whenever you have one prohibition of the Torah, including many different things, the rule is you do not get lashes for that particular lot. I gave you the example of lo tochal al hadam. The prohibition of lo tochal al hadam, which is in Parshat Kedoshim, says don't eat something with the blood or around the blood. So we pointed out there are five different things that are learnt out from that pasuk. I'll just go over two or three of them. One, that when an animal is quivering, it has been slaughtered. What defines slaughtering? You take your knife, you cut the trachea and the esophagus 51%. That's it. 50.1%. That's called nishchat. Nishchat. Well, the animal is still going to be quivering. It's not completely dead yet. Halachically, it's dead. It's no longer aver minachai. But that pasuk tells me, have a little respect for that life. At least wait until it stops shaking. So you learned it out from lo tochal al adam. Then, a second thing that the Gemara learned out, you're not allowed to eat before you daven. Lo tochlu kodem shitit palalu al dimchem. You are not permitted to eat before you pray for and thank God for restoring your blood, for restoring your life after sleeping last night. So you're not allowed to daven. So if you're going to eat before daven, you're going to give somebody lashes because they violated the law? The answer is no. Because it's the proto-steak of lo tochal al adam. She's looking at me, what's a proto-steak? The prototype, but a proto-steak, you know. Not, the prototype of lo tochal al adam. People used to eat that proto-steak a long time ago. Anybody still eat it? No? Okay. Lo tochal al adam. So that's why Rabbi Yishmael did not want to agree with Rav Ashi. So what should? So now we can ask another question. Why didn't Rav Ashi want to agree with Rabbi Yishmael? Why didn't Rav Ashi say that I'm going to learn out the prohibition of eating basar b'chalav is learned out from the fact that the Torah repeats it three times. Three times. So the primary answer is because he, Rav Ashi, believes, and I'm going to show you this inside right now, who says this particular principle. Take a look at page 3. This is a commentary on the Rambam in Hilchot Ma'achalot Asarot. His name is the Lecha Mishneh. Lecha Mishneh. There are several commentaries printed in most of our standard Rambams which have some word of the word Mishneh. Mishneh, because the Rambam is the Mishneh Torah. So you have the Kesef Mishneh, the Lecha Mishneh, the Mishneh Lamelech, all different types of Mishneh. And in fact, the Rambams, if you look at Bar Ilan, and you just go under the column, Rambam Umifarshav, the commentaries on the Rambam, that is the longest single entry in all of Bar Ilan. There are more commentaries on the Rambam than any other book that we own. It's unbelievable. And that is the Rambam who wrote in his introduction, and the once I've written my Rambam, you don't need any other books. You don't need any other books. All of Jewish law is contained in my book. You don't need it. Want to be a good Jew? Just look at the Rambam. So he got what was due him. So the Lecha Mishneh makes the following statement. His question is a different question. He asks the question, why is it that on Hana'ah of Basar B'chalav, if I derive benefit, give me an example of how I would derive benefit. I gave it to my dog, or I sold it. Why don't I get lashes for violating one of the three of Lo Tov Hashem? Why don't I give three? Because you're not allowed to cook, you're not allowed to eat, you're not allowed to benefit. So he says, the hacha be'isur hana'a leka lav kidekasivna le'el. There is no black and white text in the Holy Torah that says you're not allowed to derive benefit from basar b'chalav. No place that says it. In fact, no place does it say you're not allowed to eat basar b'chalav either. Ela isura ba'alma. It's only a prohibition. It's biblically prohibited, yes. But you can't get lashes. Why? Kevan da'afke rachmana be'im eino inyan. Afkei Rachmana means the Torah expressed it in a manner which, I'm going to explain those three words and then I'll read it again. Does the Torah ever say you're not allowed to eat basar b'chalav according to Rabbi Yishmael? No, it doesn't say in any place. So, what does the Torah say? Now, what does the Torah say? Lo Tov Hashem. So what question did Rabbi Yishmael ask about the Torah writing Lo Tov Hashem three times? What question do you think he asked? Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So here is his answer. im eino li'inyan bishul, if you're not going to take the second time and say that it applies to cooking, you know why I'm not going to say it applies to cooking? Because the first time it's already applied to cooking. So what am I going to say? The second time it was written was designed to prohibit what?
Eating.
Now I'm going to ask a question. How do I know that you're not allowed to derive benefit from basar b'chalav? Because there is a third time. And I will ask the same question, says the Lechem Mishnah. I'll ask the same question. Why did the Torah write it a third time? First time, don't cook. Second time, don't eat. So why did Torah have to write a third time? Im eino li'inyan bishul, if I don't see any reason to apply it to bishul, why don't I want to put it to bishul? Because I already had another one. Tineyu li'inyan hana'a. So now I will say that the third time is to teach me you're not permitted to derive benefit. That's why Rabbi Yishmael says you are not permitted to derive, you're not permitted to eat, and you're not permitted to what? Mm-hmm. To derive hana. Just one second. So if that's the reason, Rav Ashi doesn't like that derivation. Because it never once said, don't eat basar b'chalav. It never once said, don't derive benefit from basar b'chalav. It's taking a phrase which doesn't say anything about cooking or benefit, doesn't say anything about eating or benefit, and it's applying a phrase of bishul to what? To cooking and benefit. That, says the Lecha Mishnah, if you did have benefit from it, you can't be punished. Why can't you be punished? Because when the person is going to warn you, and he's going to warn you, he's going to say, hey, don't you give that to Fluffy. And you're going to ask him, and why not? So he's going to tell you, because it says, Lo tevashel gedi b'chalev imo. So what am I going to think? I'm an Amaretz. What am I going to think? Okay, I'm not cooking it. Somebody else cooked it. I didn't cook it. So I'm going to go ahead and give it to him. Since the Torah explicitly doesn't say, don't eat and don't have benefit, Rav Ashi feels that the source of Rabbi Yishmael, the one that everybody knows, three times, is not a good source. Although it can prohibit it based on biblical law, it cannot administer lashes. And I, Rav Ashi, want that the punishment of lashes should apply for basar b'chalav. I want it. That's why I am not going to agree with my good friend Rabbi Yishmael. Because the way he learns it out, it's the phrase is, im eino li'inyan. If it's not to be applied to its stated meaning, tinehu li'inyan acher, place it somewhere else. That happens to be a standard derivation of how we interpret the Torah text. Because there are many times where the Torah is repetitive. And if the Torah is repetitive, the Gemara usually asks, why? Why was it repetitive? What do we accomplish by repeating something? So I gave you one answer last week to give you multiple X's in your book for doing the same thing. But that's a strange answer, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to find something else. You know, he can find whatever he wants. He doesn't need something to what? To be written three times in order to assign me to hell. He can assign me to hell for lots of other reasons, even if I only have one X in my book. For what? For cooking basar b'chalav. He could find it. It's a very difficult answer. So therefore, Rav Ashi didn't like Rav Yishmael's three times. Yes?
What is the Lachem Mishnah adding to what we already said, Rav Ashi said? He's saying the same thing.
No, he's trying to explain why Rav Ashi didn't agree with Rav Yishmael.
What we read here just says, repeats the same, the three things. Why does it say it the first time? That's just repeating what Rav Ashi said.
No, but Rav Ashi just said that we learn out the source of eating. Now, he explains why there is no lashes, the Lecha Mishnah. Why is there no lashes for giving?
Where does he say?
It doesn't say black on white in the Torah that you're not allowed to have hanah from what? From basar b'chalav, according to Rav Ashi. Does it? Does it say black on white? And therefore, v'lo lucky aleha. You cannot administer lashes for having benefit from basar b'chalav. Elo isura ba'alma. The only thing that you can establish based on the extra pasuk of Lo Tevashel is that it's prohibited. But you can't administer lashes.
What do you stir up the
Alma? Just an Isur. The Alma means just an Isur, a biblical prohibition. But Lo Laki means no lashes. Why? Because Kevan de Afke Rachmana, we learn it out from the Torah. Be'im eino inyan. By saying that one of the Lo Tevashels can't be mean cooking, because the other one already means cooking. So what does this Levashel mean? Not to eat. What does the third one mean? Hanah. But if it doesn't say do not eat or do not have Hanah, you can't give lashes. That's why Rav Ashi doesn't like Rabbi Shmuel's derivation. So why did I have to say my interpretation? Because if I were to agree with him, I'd be stuck in a bind that I could not administer lashes. And I want to give lashes. I want to give lashes.
Wait a minute.
Yes.
Didn't we say a minute ago that...
That was Rabbi Yishmael's opinion. Rav Ashi will defend his opinion. He's got an answer for all of the questions that we raised against him. Those were Rabbi Yishmael's questions. But he's got an answer. We don't know what they are.
Okay.
He is aware, I am sure, that if you were to corner him, he'd have an answer for every one of those questions. Guaranteed.
He
could hold that for a general type of lobster, you get Malkus. He could say that. There are lots of possible answers. But that's a good point. Last week we defended Rav Ashi and said, you don't get Malkus. That was Rabbi Shmuel's complaint against him. Right, but we don't always have the response whenever that happens in Talmudic discourse. Somebody asks a question on someone else. Rav Ashi and Rabbi Yishmael lived 400 years apart. So this is not a dialogue that's taking place in the Beis Medrash where you can expect some give and take. It's the Talmud, the editor, who happens to be Rav Ashi, who places Rabbi Yishmael's thoughts in this sugya because he wanted to talk about it. But sometimes, and that's important to know, sometimes when there is a debate in the Gemara, the two people are sitting right next to each other, and like you see in a Beis Medrash, they're screaming at each other. Oh, you know what you're talking about. And they're actually debating, and you can have the give and take going back and forth. Sometimes it's the editors of the Talmud who create a machlokes, who think that what? That this is relevant, I'm going to discuss them at the same time. And then somebody else can say, you know what? He made a mistake, the editor of the Talmud. Because there are big distinctions, whatever it is. But that was a very good question. Very good question. That's point number one. Point number one. Point number two. Point number two. If you take a look at Rashi, and I bracketed the Rashi last time, go back to page number one. Back to page number one. Yes.
Rabbi Shmuel would also agree that Lo Tefel is referring to Toeva. He would still have the concept of Toeva anyway.
Because
that's a standard.
Of course, he doesn't prohibit. He doesn't negate it. It's just not used for basar b'chalav. Used for other things. 100%. It's a pasuk on the chumash. You can't not consider it. So now, Rav Ashi's statement said that whenever the Torah makes something to'eva, you're not allowed to eat it. That's what he said. Anything kol shiti'avti lecha. Go look at the Rashi, the one right line above it, Kol shiti'avti lecha. Kol she'osarti lecha. Lita'avo. Anything which I have prohibited unto you. It's on page number one. left-hand side, all the way on the bottom of the page, is Rashi. You got it?
Yeah.
Bracketed Rashi. I started the line above it. Kol she'ti'avti lecha. Kol she'osarti lecha. Anything that I prohibited. Lita'avo, to make it into an abomination. And therefore, lehit racheik mimenu. If God says it's an abomination, stay away from it. Lehit racheik mimenu. Hare hu bebal tochal. One of the ways in which you demonstrate, I agree with you, Rabbi Nishan, this is abominable. How do you avoid it? Not to eat it. Olamit. Bebal tochal olamit. Maze olamit? Forever. It's not a time-based prohibition. Like chametz, you only now have to eat during Pesach. After Pesach, you can eat as much chametz as you want. After Yom Kippur, you can eat as much as you want. But this is prohibited olamit bechol inyanin shehu. No matter how this milk was cooked with meat. Bein sheba ba'aveira, whether or not the milk and meat came about as the result of a transgression. How did it come about as a transgression? Because I did it. I'm an adult. And I'm not allowed to cook basa b'chalav. Or, ubein shiloba be'aveira. Or what? Even if it was not the creation of this abomination didn't come about through a transgression. And Rashi has two illustrations. One, kigon al yidei katan, o al yidei oved kochavim. So if my grandchild decided to cook basa b'chalav, even though he will violate absolutely nothing, because he's an 8-year-old kid. 8-year-olds are not chayiv to observe any mitzvot of the Torah. Yes, I should teach him and try to remind. Look, this is not a good thing to cook, but. You know, if he did it, you don't go smack him in the face. You know, yet Rashi considers this as it's prohibited. It is prohibited, even if it's a katan. Then he goes one step further. Not only if it's a katan, but who else? A Gentile. If a Gentile cooked basa b'chalav together, now is a Gentile not? Of course, he's allowed to take. He's allowed to make basa b'chalav, but he can eat it for himself. I cannot eat basa b'chalav that was cooked by a Gentile. Because Rashi says, any way in which this item became a to'eva, any way, it's now going to apply. Whether it's a minor or a Gentile. So I ask you, if Rashi gives two cases, ask yourself the obvious question.
Why do we need both?
Why do I need both? Which one has, which one is less offensive than the other? Which one do you think is the greater chiddush? A minor or a Gentile? Which one is the greater chiddush that it's prohibited now and you're not allowed to eat it?
A minor.
A minor. Why?
Because it's a Jewish.
So it's a bigger chiddush. Good. So that could be true, right? A Gentile does it. There's no, a child at least is he's a member of Am Yisrael. So you could have thought the Rashi could have sufficed with a katan, and didn't have to write nachri. That's one possible question against Rashi. Then a second question against Rashi is the following. I'm going to ask the broad question and then we'll take a look inside. When a minor, a child, does a transgression, there are two ways to look at it. A, it's not a transgression. B, it is a transgression, but he doesn't get punished. So which one are you more comfortable with?
The second.
Good.
I mean, if it's a 3-month rule, if it's an 11-month
rule. I don't know. I don't know. What difference would there be?
And does it fall on the parent?
No, it doesn't. A parent is not held accountable.
What do you say when the
Okay, that's you have to explain that. Because if that bracha really is to be taken literally, it should be made when a girl becomes a bat mitzvah too.
Right?
So, it's a very unusual... Okay, I'm not going into that right now. I don't want to go... Yeah. So, that's one possible question against Rashi, and we're going to come to it in 1 second. Please, for 1 second, please go now to page 5. To page 5. Go to page 5. This is a very unusual Gemara. The Torah tells us that a Jew, man or woman, are not permitted to have relations with an animal. We read it in 2 weeks ago's Parsha. 2 weeks ago's Parsha. You're not permitted to have relations with an animal. We might think that who would ever do something like that? But the truth is, in the southern part of the United States, it is done regularly. Regularly. Bestiology is done regularly in the southern part of the United States.
Now?
Right now! 2018! I didn't say it. I didn't say in the city, but in the, on farms. Yes, on farms, it is still done. Yes. So the Torah tells us not to do something. So what does the Torah tell us under those circumstances? Not only do you kill the human being, but you kill the animal too. And the question is, why do you kill the animal? What did the animal do? You know, that's not free choice. I obviously manipulated the animal. So why do I have to... Why does the Torah say, V'gam et ha-behema taharogu? So the Gemara, before the bracket on the third line, discussed, offers... two things, and the question is, do you need both or one or the other? What are the two things? Takala. What does takala mean? Takala. What does the word tof, kuf, lamed, hey mean? Takala. No. It's a stumbling block. Takala, like a michshol. If that animal attracted one human being, he might what? Attract another human being. And number two, second consideration is kalon. Kuf lamid vav nun. The shame and the embarrassment that the family of the man who was, or woman who were killed are going to have to live with the rest of their life. If that animal's walking around on Broadway, oh, that's the animal that got this man killed. That's the animal that got this woman killed. So it's called takala and kalon. So now the Gemara asks a question. Ba'i Rav Hamnuna, line 3. Rav Hamnuna asks the following question. Yisrael haba al habehema b'shogeg mahu. If a man had relations with an animal and it was b'shogeg, do I have to kill the behema or not? Of course it's possible. I didn't know. I never heard of this prohibition. That's what shogeg is. If somebody did not want, two people saw you having this relationship and nobody warned you. The purpose of demanding that before Beis Din execute anybody or give lashes, before they, you have to have a warning, is lehavchin ben shogeg u'mezid. Because a person can always claim, had I only known that God prohibited this, I would never have done it. I didn't know. So a warning is given to you and say, hey, what you're about to do is biblically prohibited. The person quotes the pasuk to let you know that it's prohibited. So under those circumstances, so the Gemara said, would you now have to kill the animal? And here's what's running through the Gemara's mind. Takala vikalon beinan. Do you need both the possibility of an obstacle and the shame to what? To the family. Vahacha kalon ika. If it was b'shogeg and people are still, the animal's still going to go, oh, that's the animal which he slept with. It's going to bring bad reputation for the rest of the family. But takala leka, because it was not done bemazed, it was done with a sense of ignorance, so it's not that anybody is going to be attracted to, anybody who knows the halacha will not be attracted to this animal. So why would I have to kill it? So if you only need one, if you need both, so then under those circumstances you should not execute the animal. O Dilma Kalon Af Alpi Shein Takala. Or perhaps if as long as there is shame and humiliation for the family, that is sufficient, even though it cannot serve as a takala, a potential obstacle to get someone else to violate. That's his question. So the Gemara is going to try to prove it from a variety of situations. So now go to the next bracketed segment. Toshma. Ben Teisha Shanim V'yom Echad. It's talking about a 9-year-old boy who has relations with a variety of different people. Now, let's take this from the very top. The Torah recognizes that there is a fundamental difference between a minor girl and a minor boy. A minor girl can be married off by her father from age 3 and onward. Father can marry off the daughter from 3 until 12 and a half. Father can marry her off. The marriage is valid midda oraita. If they want to break it up, you need a regular get. Need a regular get. Now, when this man marries this 5-year-old girl, is he allowed to have marital relations with her? Yes. The answer is he's allowed. He shouldn't. He shouldn't. But if he did, nothing's going to happen. It's his wife. And according to one opinion in the Gemara, if you want to have relations, she must practice birth control. Because we don't want her to get pregnant when she's 5 years old. Or 8 years old. Or 9 years old. Or 10 years old. Or 11. Must practice birth control. A boy cannot be married off by his father. Cannot. Because having sexual relations by a boy is, according to the Gemara, almost impossible. Almost impossible. Somebody who's below bar mitzvah. A young woman, you can force her to have relations. So the husband can, in effect, have a marital relationship that includes having relations. But a boy cannot be married. So here, the Gemara says that you have the following situation. This boy... that shouldn't work. Okay, that case shouldn't work. Okay, I'm going to have to check that case. So go to the real proof is from the middle of the next line. So you saw where I am. I'm the bracketed Omar Rava. Go down to the next line, exactly in the middle of the page. Im ba al achat mikol ha'arayot ha'amurot batorah mumtin al yado. Mumtin al yado. Anybody want to take a stab at it? He had relations with any of the arayot that are written in Parshat Acharei Mot.
You talking about the 9-year-old?
The 9-year-old boy. So, who gets killed? No, this is not an animal. A person. He had relations with his aunt. He had relations with his sister as a 9-year-old boy. You kill the sister, you kill the aunt as a result of his action. Is a result of his action. He doesn't get killed because he's below bar mitzvah. So what do you see about a transgression of a minor? But is it called an act of transgression? Otherwise, what would not have happened? The woman wouldn't have to get killed. Obviously, it is a transgression. Except that because HaKadosh Baruch Hu felt such people are too young to be held accountable for their actions, they don't suffer punishment. But the act itself, an act of transgression, is called an act of transgression. So I'll give you a perfect case to illustrate that, not such a bizarre case. What happens if somebody cooks something on Shabbos? Are you allowed to eat it?
No.
Absolutely not.
Unless you're a chole.
All right. Only a chole. But if you're not a chole, you cannot eat it. So what happens if your 12-year-old decided to cook something? Are you allowed to eat that or not?
No.
The answer is no. He's not going to get stoned because he was Mechal Shabbos. But the act which he did is called Chilul Shabbos. The act which he did is called Chilul Shabbos. So Rashi here, Rashi in our Gemara, mentions a katan, and that if a katan cooked milk and meat together, that generates it as a to'eva. And hence, if my minor child cooks milk and meat together, I'm not allowed to eat it. Because once the Torah prohibits it, it's prohibited under all circumstances, Jew or minor. Because the action of a minor, Gentile or a minor, an action of a minor is halachically called an action. Just as the Gemara here in Sanhedrin defines it in this unusual case where a child, 9 years old, has relations with one of the biblically prohibited relationships. However, here comes the question on this principle, at least by Basa Bechala. Take a look now at page 4. Page 4. Page 4 is a Tosafot commenting on Masechet Tmura. Forget about the case. I just want you to forget about how he's applying it. I want you to look what Tosfos says. By Dafke Babasa Bechal of Nafik Minei, Ho'il Va'afilu Nafal Memela. Habasar litoch hechalav asur. What happened?
Just fell in.
Nobody put it in. It fell in by itself. So was any transgression created here? How could you say that? Transgression requires human endeavor, human initiative. Tosfos is of the opinion that when I have a piece of meat on the countertop, and on the floor there was on the oven there was a pot of milk cooking, and the steak that was on top of the refrigerator slid off and fell right into the pot. It did nothing. Nonetheless, Tosfot says that is called basa b'chalav. If Rashi agreed with this, and he has never said that he doesn't, assume, what question would you now ask on our Rashi? What question would you now ask on our...
You have to bother telling me that it wasn't okay if a child did it or if a child
did it. Exactly. Why does Rashi have to tell us that, you know what? I am going to describe this as a toeva, even if a child did it. Even if a Gentile did it. I have one up on you, Rashi. You don't need anybody doing it. It happened by itself. And nonetheless, it's also because of Basa B'chalav. So listen to this. Up until now, till tonight, how did we assume the Isur of Basa B'chalav is created by someone violating Lotav Hashel? Here, no one's violating anything. The mere fact that basar and chalav were cooked together is already defined as the toeva. And therefore, many citing this principle, that basar b'chalav does not need a transgression to generate the prohibited item, people ask, many commentaries ask on Rashi, why did Rashi have to go out of his way, give us a long song and dance, that you know what? It becomes basa b'chalav when a Gentile did it, when a kid did it, I can beat you. Even if it falls in by itself, and there is zero transgression whatsoever, it still becomes basa b'chalav. Yes? Correct.
Because both of those cases are hanah.
That's correct. Whenever it becomes together, no matter how, it's asur in achila and asur in hanah. Correct. That is correct. Again, all of Tosfot, or 90% of the Tosfot, are asking questions on Rashi. Trust me, if Grandpa Rashi, because Rashi was the grandfather of several, two or three of the Bali HaTosfos, if Grandpa would get out of his grave, he'd be very capable of answering those things. But they had a different... See, all of the, most of the questions which Tosfos asked on Rashi is from another Gemara. Tosfos, hey, over there it says something else. Because Rashi's task was not to get all of the sources in the Talmud that happened to be talking about this topic to jive together. That wasn't his function. His function was, I want you to explain the two lines that are right here. I know there might be some. Right here I want to explain something. That's Rashi's job. The Bali HaTosfos had a different style and they attacked him. So I'm sure Rashi would be able to defend himself. We don't have too much. There are some of the other later Rishonim tried to defend Rashi against the critique of the Ramban and Chumash, you know, every other place. Ramban says, well, Rashi said this, but he was wrong. You know, I'm sure he could have...
It's help. It's like, almost like very specific. It's more possible those two examples would come up as practical versus it falling in by itself.
I grant you that. So I grant you that. Maybe Rashi went a little more practical. That's what he might respond.
That's all right.
But conceptually, people say, I don't need this. Why don't I need it? Because I have this particular case as well. I could have disagreed with Tosfos and claimed that if it fell in by itself, it's not Basa B'chala, but, you know, one could have said that. It's a possibility. All right, we'll stop here, and next week we'll start a new sugya or a little build on a little something new next week. Wednesday night next week. Sure.